Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to read a lot from there this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17. We're going to be talking about David and the story of David and Goliath. We're going to start here and end here, so grab something and mark this, and we'll come back to chapter 16 and 17 at the very end of the lesson. But we're going to start reading in chapter 16, verse 11. So here's where we first meet David, and where David is anointed by Samuel. He says here in verse 11, beginning, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of the brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." I want to notice here at the end that after David was anointed, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him at this time, and it was with him going forward. Chapter 17 and verse 3, "And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his leg, and a target of brass upon his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Verse 20, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was getting forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Verse 32. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. Verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it, smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. So that's essentially the story of David and Goliath, the story of the youth who came up and withstood the army of the Philistine, the champion of the Philistine, and prevailed by the power of God. This is a story that is in everybody, in every boy's heart. Every boy thinks about this story and imagines themselves being David, that youth who stands before the giant and manages to take him down with a boy's tool. Every one of us imagines that, and we think about what it must be like to bring down the giant, being one so very small and so deceivingly powerless, no less. For my part, I remember being about 5 years old and researching and somehow crafting a sling similar to the one that David would have used. And I remember being at the house there on Buckwheat Street in Fort Worth, Texas, and slinging dirt clods at the back of the house, because I wanted to know, what is this power that David was able to wield and bring down a giant? What was this power that he had in this sling? And I wanted that tool, and I wanted to understand how, as a youth, I could have that. What I quickly discovered was that this was no easy task. Taking a rock or something of that nature and slinging it with a sling, it was hard enough to hit the backside of the house, much less a man's forehead. And then with all the force to sink it into his forehead and bring him to his knees. And so what I learned that day, practicing with my sling, was that the power was not in the sling. And the power was not in the stone. The power was not in David's arm. The power was in God. God was the one who propelled the stone and brought down the giant. And so, brethren, the lesson of that day is just as applicable to us today. And I tell you this because I would not have you to be ignorant, that no matter how big you get, no matter how experienced you think you are, no matter how much you learn, there will always be a Goliath that stands up in front of you. This scene that happened on this day, this scene that we dream about as boys, will occur over and over and over and over again in the life of every man. Just like it occurred for 40 days here in this story, until one person finally stood up and said, "No, you will defy the armies of the Lord no longer." And so it is. This will happen over and over and over again with us. You'll get to some point in your life where you are called upon to serve the Lord, and there will arise a Goliath. He will stand in front of you and say, "You are not good enough. You will fail, and I will slay you. Go back to where you came in fear and hide." And many will, just like the Israelites did on that day. But we must not do that. We must stand up now and overcome Goliath. Overcome the giant that defies us and defies the Lord. We have the power. David had the Spirit of the Lord, and we have it as well today. We have the power. And every time you take down that giant, you will gain the confidence to know that the next time another giant stands up in front of you, you can take that one down too. We have the power. We can be brave because the power is in God. And so we, in our mind's eye, we imagine ourselves being this small boy standing in front of this large obstacle that seems too frightful to overcome. But it's simply not true. And you don't need a spear or a sword or anything powerful like that. All you need is God. Now, at its heart, the story of David and Goliath is a story of bravery, clearly. And so we are called upon to take on that bravery and to be brave today. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Remember, hold your finger there and 1 Samuel will come back. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." What is this concept of virtue? The Greek word here literally means manliness or valor or power. That's the literal meaning of it. Translated, it's translated a lot of different ways. A lot of the newer translations try to interpret it into some meaning, such as goodness or worthiness or excellence. But literally translated, the best English word to fit this Greek word here is virtue. So virtue, I'm going to write on the board for a second. Virtue comes from the word vira. The word vira means of man. And virtue means manliness. They both have the root word here, vir, which means man. And so the concept of virtue here is the idea of strength and power, manliness, all of the things that embodied David on that day. Some of the synonyms for the word virtue are bravery, courage, daring, fearlessness, gallantry. To have guts, heart, nerve, prowess, stoutness, and valor. So the first thing, as soon as God gives us faith, after hearing the word of God, we must add to our faith is strength and power. And he will do that for us. This is the way we use the word virtue. We say, for example, by the virtue of, right? We say, by virtue of this thing. By virtue of the power invested in me by the state of Texas, I proclaim you man and wife, right? So a power is conferred, and by the virtue of that power, something is done. And so the first thing you will do is add to your faith this power. Look here a couple of verses ahead, beginning in verse 3 in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, "According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory," like David had glory that day, "and virtue. By his divine power, he has given all things to us that will allow us to attain glory and virtue," power, "whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So we can escape the threat of the giant before us. We can escape the world of corruption and lust through the power of the promises that he has given to us. It's no coincidence that the first thing that you are to add to your faith is virtue. Without that, then you will not continue on to add the next things. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. This word virtue only occurs 4 times in the New Testament, and we're about to look at them. We already saw 2, and so let's look at the next one. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. How can we overcome Goliath? We can overcome him with the things that we read about in this verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. How do we overcome Goliath? We overcome Goliath with things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and good. And then we can have access to the virtue, the power, and excellency of God. And we can overcome everything. Notice the context here. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known for God. Whenever you have fear, it weakens you. It drains you of your strength. We need to have bravery. And so whenever we add these things in verse 8, we will have virtue, strength, power, and we will fill our mind with these things. And we will be able to overcome Goliath. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Back to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the virtue of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. It is our job to show forth the power and authority of God as we fulfill our role as a peculiar people and a royal priesthood. We show forth the power, the authority, and the might, the bravery that Jesus Christ himself embodied, and that we show whenever we are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so if we do this, we will have the power that God grants to us to overcome these things. Now, this concept of strength is certainly nothing strange to the New Testament. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. So here is the concept of being strong juxtaposed to the constant, or placed next to the concept of faith once again, and standing fast, being strong. Do not allow yourself to be overcome. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Whenever the devil sends a champion out against us and we think he looks so tall and so insurmountable, stand in the power of his might, and he will deliver you. He will allow you to overcome. Go back a couple of chapters to chapter 3, verse 11, beginning. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The purpose, again, similar to what we read about there in 2 Peter chapter 1. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith in him. The idea of strength, again, boldness, bravery, set up against faith. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by might, strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, and so forth. So remember what David had that day? David had the Spirit of the Lord that came upon him whenever he was anointed. In the Old Testament, not everyone in Israel had the Spirit of the Lord. It was something that was given to a few. But today, we are so very blessed. We live in a time where all of God's children have the Spirit of the Lord. He has given it to us and poured it out to us so that we can be one spirit with him. David overcame Goliath through the Spirit of the Lord, and so will we. We will overcome everything, he says here. We will be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And so will we. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. This is the way that God wants it to be. He has given this to us. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Think about those Israelites that day who shrunk back, and only one man, David, stood forth and walked out to meet Goliath. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Everything that we need to overcome, everything that we need to knock down Goliath, he has given to us, and he will give us the ability to do that. The Israelites had a spirit of fear. For 40 days they had a spirit of fear as Goliath stood up against them. And it left them in bondage. Even though they hadn't been defeated by the Philistines yet, they were still just as much slaves to them because they wouldn't go up and battle them. Instead, they shrunk back every day, just like they were already the servants of the Philistine. But it ought not be so. David embraced the Spirit of God and threw off his fear to go down and to slay the giant. So this brings us back to 2 Peter chapter 1. And look at this list of things here. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, he says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." So I would submit to you this morning that David couldn't have done it with just bravery alone. He had faith, and he added to that virtue or bravery, but also he couldn't have done it with each of these alone. Turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 17, and let's revisit these verses this morning. I'm sorry, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. Well, clearly David had faith. If you look at 1 Samuel 17 and verse 37. Verse 37, he says, "And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. So Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee." David had faith that what God had done for him before he would do again, and that this Philistine was no more dangerous than any of the other things that he had overcome. And so I want us to take notice that no matter how big the giant before us seems today, he's no bigger than the giants that we have already defeated in our life, and we can defeat every one of them as the devil raises them up in front of us. But David had faith that what God had already done, what he had promised that he would do again through him this day. So giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. that is bravery or courage. Look at verse 32 of 17. And David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David had no training of war. David didn't have the tools of war. But yet, in his heart, he was ready to charge forth. He had courage and bravery. And to virtue, knowledge. Look at verse 25 here. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men and said to the, and stood by them, saying, what shall be done to this man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. In verse 30, and David turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And so David understood. He wanted to know, who was this? Who was this Philistine that was defying them? Tell me about him. And also he wanted to know what the reward was going to be. And so he kept asking, what is it? What is the reward? And so he wanted to add to his bravery the knowledge. And so we must add the knowledge to overcome our obstacles. And the way we do that is we identify the obstacle and we identify what's on the other side of that obstacle. The thing that we need to overcome and the reward for overcoming it. And that's exactly what we do today as Christians. And to add to your knowledge, temperance. Look at verse 28 through 29. And Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a reason for me to be here? And so his brother accuses him of some pretty ugly things. And he could have said, well, what's wrong with you? Why don't you go out and fight this Philistine? Or next time, I'll just let you fend for yourself and starve to death. He could have retorted all sorts of things. He could have retaliated, but he didn't. He stood up for himself and said, I came here for a reason. And that reason was to help you, right? So he pointed out the fact that he was there to help them. And so he exercised self-control. And we'll see this again throughout David's life. He could have killed Saul, but he didn't. Many times he exercised self-control and sometimes he didn't. But he was clearly a man of self-control from the beginning. And to temperance, patience. Turn back to chapter 16. Look at verse 13. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. From that day forward, David knew, and this was before David and Goliath, David knew that he was going to be king. But he also knew that it wasn't his time, and so he patiently waited. Turn to chapter 18, verse 2. And Saul took him, that is David, that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. And so David, even though he had been anointed the next king, he still obeyed Saul and followed him while Saul was still king. In verse 5, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. David patiently awaited for his day to come, and eventually that day did come. He didn't try to seize it, to take it before it was truly his, before it was due to him. Instead, he had patience. And to patience, godliness. Look at verse 5 here in chapter 18. David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. So, he behaved himself as someone who was due respect, someone who behaved himself well, not someone who was foolish and ungodly. Instead, he behaved himself wisely. Look at verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. So because of David's godly behavior, he gained respect of the people and invoked fear in those who were not in a right relationship with God. Also, the word godly here in the context of 2 Peter means to have reverence or respect, to lean towards God, to be pious toward God. Look at 17 in verse 37. David knew that the power to kill Goliath was not going to be his, but it was going to be God's. So he had that respect, the reverence, the piousness to put the glory upon God and not on himself. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the hand of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Look at verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. The Lord will deliver thee into my hand. And I will smite thee and will take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistine this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He wanted God to get the glory, not him. He wanted God to get the glory. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So the concept of putting the glory upon God, the idea of taking on the attributes of humility and piousness and leaning upon God. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Look at 17 and verse 26. And David spake with the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? He was bothered that there was a reproach against Israel, that his brethren were receiving a bad name because they wouldn't turn to God and trust him. And look at verse 45 again. And David, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He didn't like the fact that Goliath had defied the armies of Israel, the armies of the true and living God. And look at verse 32. And David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, that is Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David wanted to protect their hearts. He felt for his brethren, and he didn't want them to live in fear. He wanted to protect their hearts and show them that God would give them the strength to overcome. And to brotherly kindness, love. Finally, turn to chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. David was certainly a loving man. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go, and would let him go no more into the home of his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Obviously, David felt a love to God, but he felt a love toward his fellow man, toward his brethren as well. He loved his brethren enough to bring them food and to take care of them. And so he had the love, he had brotherly love, and he had agape love exhibited here in this story of David and Goliath. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. The Israelites were blinded by their fear whenever they looked at Goliath. They did not add these things to themselves, and so they were sure, they were certain that they would fall. But David had these things, and so he made his calling to serve the Lord sure. And he defeated Goliath on that day. And so can we, if we add these attributes to ourselves, and if we exhibit the bravery and the heart that David had exhibited that day as he stood up against Goliath. So with that, this morning the lesson is yours. And I pray that as you go about your life and you go about your work and your service to the Lord this week, that you would do so with the heart of David, that you would allow nothing to keep you from obeying his word, but that you would stand up to Goliath every time the devil raises him up in front of you, and that you would knock him down with the power of the Lord. And if you need anything if you need the prayers of the congregation, or you need to restore your relationship with God, we pray that you would do so while we stand and sing the song.